fan on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, the Hump Day edition, August 6, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield, my trusty sidekick, is manning the controls and taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. Remember, for all your storage needs, it's the Storage Center in Tuscaloosa. We've got a jam-packed show on tap for you today. I'm going to run it down in just a second. But first, I need to tell you, this hour, the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by your trusted partner for financial success. Embrace financial well-being with Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com, with 38 locations around the state of Alabama and one in the panhandle of Florida. Alabama Credit Union is ready for you. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money and put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, we've got a jam-packed show. Like I said, 9:30, Matt Coulter on NASCAR, another victory lap Wednesday for Matt as he picked the winner at Iowa correctly with William Byron, and he is, I think, up 6-2 on me now. So, mercy, I made a little bit of a comeback, cut it to 4-2, and he's it's his revenge tour from last year, Matt Coulter revenge tour. At 10 o'clock, we start our high school football previews with Josh Wright, Tuscaloosa Academy. After an amazing season last year that took them all the way to the 2A state championship game, they're looking to be strong again, but they lost a lot of quality football players off that 2024 squad, a lot of top seniors. So we'll talk to Josh about rebuilding a little bit at TA. And then at 10:30, it's Larry the Music Man as we delve into the rock music scene in the 1970s and take your phone calls for Larry the Music Man. Right now, let's go ahead, because Corey has been waiting over in Trustful from before we got on the air this morning. So let's go ahead and take a phone call, and in the next segment, we'll get into a few headlines and hear from Nick Saban as well coming up in the next segment. But right now, let's get to Corey in Trustful. Hey, Corey.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, I'm asking this, what do you think about this running back room? Because last couple of years, the running back production slipped some, and I think there is a possibility we could have a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't know who it will be, but do you think this running back room could be strong again?
I do, and I think there is going to be a 1,000-yard rusher. It's going to be Jam Miller. I mean, he's going to be the established starter. But I don't know that there will be, because I think all these guys are capable of helping this football team. When you look at Jam Miller, you look at an established starter in the SEC, a solid back in really every area, running, pass catching. I think he's a decent blocker. I think he's worked hard to get bigger and stronger. Behind him, I think Richard Young is ready to take a step. Five-star out of high school a couple years ago, who's very talented. Daniel Hill could be your battering ram. He's, you know, about 240 pounds. And then you've got the transfer, Dre Washington, who I think they think a lot of. And you got two true freshmen in A.K. Deere and Kevin Riley. A.K. Deer from Quitman, Mississippi, Kevin Riley from right here at Tuscaloosa County High School. So I feel really good about the running back room, Corey. I feel good about it, and I feel good about Jam Miller being an established starter. But again, when you have, you know, that many guys, and I think three of them will probably play regularly, I don't know if we'll get a 1,000-yard rusher, but I don't know that that's important. I think it's going to be more about the production of the entire group. But do I think Jam Miller is capable of being a 1,000-yard back? I do. So we'll see what happens. But I feel good about the group.
Do you, you know, I can't remember who said it, but I think it was Parker Brailsford said that he thinks that this offensive line could be a Joe Moore Award offensive line. Do you think this could be that kind of elite offensive line?
I think it has a chance to be. I think Parker Brailsford has an opportunity to be, you know, maybe the best center in the country. I think he's that talented. I think that Caden Proctor at left tackle is ready to become the dominant force that a lot of Alabama fans thought he would be when he was signed coming out of the state of Iowa. I think the right tackle, Wilkin Formby, is ready to take the step and become a really solid SEC starter. He's very long, athletic, and yet still big, still well over 300 pounds at about 6'7" or 8". You know, there's a competition there at left guard. I think Cam Dewberry is probably going to win that left guard position. And then at right guard, you've got Jaden Roberts, who is a physical freak, who is a guy that's been the starter there. But I think that there's a guy on the offensive line that's kind of like the Swiss Army knife, and that's Geno Vandermark, the transfer from Michigan State, who can play center, can play both guard positions. It was felt like that he would battle Dewberry for the starting left guard position, but he's been working some at right guard too. So I think it'll be a six-man offensive line. I think they'll have five starters, and I think that whether it's Vandermark starting at right guard or Roberts, I think it's if it's Roberts, I think Vandermark is going to play some at both guard positions. So I think you might see three guards play with Dewberry, Roberts, and Vandermark. But I think they have a chance to be a really solid offensive line and a Joe Moore Award candidate.
Yeah, because we all know the offensive line is what the engine for a really good offense.
Sure.
And then I know that Kalen DeBoer really hasn't talked much about it, but we haven't really heard much of an update on special teams because we're replacing all three. And I just wonder, I mean, you probably don't know, but punters in competition, I'm pretty sure snapper and holder's kind of taking care of himself, but kicker, Connor Talty, he's not really kicked in big games, so we just don't know how that's really going.
Yeah, I mean, you're replacing all three specialists, as you said, the punter, the snapper, and the kicker. But I think they've got good talent there at all those positions. And, in fact, the Bird, the transfer snapper from Cal, is on the list for the top snapper in the country and hasn't even snapped here. So that shows you that his talent is there and that he's been an accomplished snapper in the past over at Cal. So, yeah, I think they got a good football team, Corey. I think they feel like they're going to be really good. I think the coaching staff and the players feel like they've got a chance to win a national championship. So, you know, the talent is here. It's the second year of this coaching staff. I think everybody's more comfortable, as I've said many times on the show. They're in alignment. There's a positive vibe. So now you have to go out and you have to do it. I mean, you have to do it on the field. You have to get the results. But I think they feel like they're capable of doing that.
You ready for some high school football?
I am. And, in fact, you know, like I said, I got Josh Wright coming on at 10 o'clock this morning. We're going to kick off our high school football previews because it's here before you know it. In fact, we got high school football 2 weeks from this Friday night. It's I'm ready for it, but at the same time, it's like, wow, it's practically here, man. So I better be ready.
Yeah, 7A is going to be crazy. You got your usual suspects, but I would think I would know who would win it, but at the same time, you don't, because it's just 7A is like the SEC, you know, it's a gauntlet.
It is, and you know, I think, like you said, it's like almost a mini. Yeah, you know, SEC on the high school level. I mean, there's so many teams that are really, really strong, but it'll be fun to see how it plays out, that's for sure. Hey, good to hear from you, Corey.
Good to talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you. All right, let's go ahead and get to Philip here in this first segment. Hey, Philip, good morning.
Hey, Gary, I just would like to dovetail off that conversation if I could.
Okay.
I sort of think the key to Alabama's success this year is straight away it's going to lie with the play of Proctor and Fombie at tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, I definitely think that in the SEC, as Corey was talking about and you're following up on it, you got to be strong up front and you really got to have good tackle play, because you got to have tackles that can handle the edge against these fast pass rushers that they're going to bring after your quarterback. And then you got to have tackles that can, when you're in the run game, they can move people, you know, that can get defensive linemen, you know, turned around with their back to the line of scrimmage. And you know, I think both these guys have the potential to do that. I feel really good about the two tackles, so if that's the case, then I think we're in good shape.
Yep. Well, that's got to be it. They've got to perform well and above well, because the depth behind them, you've got Olaseleinen, Lloyd, and then Debose, and those guys are good. And then the other guy that came in, Angawan or whatever his name is. So those guys are going to be good. They've got to be good because I think Alabama's pretty solid up through the middle.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. So, I mean, I think those two tackles are going to be valuable. And you know, as I said, there's so much responsibility there because you got to have, in the modern game of football, you got to have that big, strong, powerful tackle, like I said, that can move people in the run game and create space for the running back. And at the same time, they've got to be quick enough and have feet that are good enough and, you know, be able to not get beat off the edge, because these pass rushers in the SEC, they come hard and they come fast, and it, you know, one misstep, one breakdown in your technique, and they're by you, man, and your quarterback's on the ground, and that's no fun.
That's right. Hey, Gary, I was going to ask you, this is just some forward thinking as we get close to kickoff. There's a gentleman that's been involved in University of Alabama sports for decades. And you'll still see him every now and then if there's a video conference or a press conference, and they're talking to the coaches and the reporters out there with their phones out recording the conversation. And he is an interesting guy to me, and I always loved his publication. But if you've got a relationship with Kirk McNair, it'd be wonderful to have him on the show one day.
Yeah, I love Kirk, and you know, I've actually had him on, you know, before. Year, it's been several years, but yeah, I need to catch up with Kirk and, you know, see how he's doing since Lynn passed a few months ago, and he's not quite as involved. I know I've noticed with the coverage, but you're right, Kirk is outstanding and has been involved with Alabama Athletics going back to his time in the sports information department. And you're right, he's a walking encyclopedia. So I'll see if I can do that, Philip.
He is. I appreciate it, Gary. Good talking to you.
All right. Thank you, Philip. Good to hear from you. All right. It's 9:19. We're off and running here on the Gary Harris Show. We've got Matt Coulter on NASCAR coming up at 9:30. When we come back, and of course, I'm going to kind of reset the show with a few little quick headlines, but also Nick's kids yesterday, the annual luncheon giveaway. Nick Saban calls it his favorite day of the year, and we're going to talk about that and recap it and hear from Coach Saban as he met with reporters for a few minutes yesterday. That's coming up in the next segment. We're off and running here on the Gary Harris Show this hour, being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. We're coming back with the great Nick Saban next, right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
On the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Some Alabama National Guard and troops from 19 other Republican-controlled states will be mobilized to assist ICE in detainment and deportation of illegal immigrants. Their role will be administrative, and troops will not participate in actual arrest, according to the National Guard Bureau. The mobilization will be paid for by the
100.9 WTBC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by Be Dry Alabama. Be Dry Waterproofing, online at BeDryAlabama.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meat and Three Special. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., get a meat and three vegetables for just $8.49. Or for a lighter appetite, try the Lucky Lunch Soup, Salad, or Sandwich Combo. I'll see you at the Free.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's Move Over Law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the road.
Stay first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Voice of Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac welcomes us back. Hey, quick note, Alabama will go out, or they're practicing this morning in full pads for the first time. They've been in shorts for the first couple of days, and then shorts and helmets, then shells, which is adding on shoulder pads. But today they put the football pads on the with the football pants. Full padded practice today. It's like a broken record. Braves lose again last night to the Brewers 7-2. And we've got right now Nick Saban and Terry Saban, the 19th annual Nick's Kids Foundation giveaway luncheon at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium on Tuesday. It's unbelievable. The Sabans distributed over $775,000 to many nonprofit organizations yesterday. That means that through the generosity of the donors and the efforts of Nick and Terry Saban, Nick's Kids Foundation has donated nearly $16 million. Since they arrived in Tuscaloosa in 2007. How about that? Notable Nick's Kids projects include the Saban Center, Habitat for Humanity Home Building Project, Nick's Kids Playgrounds, a welding and multi-purpose classroom facility at Tuscaloosa Juvenile Detention Center, the annual Teachers Excellence Awards Luncheon, a leadership gift to the Boys and Girls Club of West Alabama Capital Campaign. It's just an unbelievable organization and the unbelievable foundation, and it continues to go strong even with Nick no longer coaching at the University of Alabama. All right, Nick always, Coach Saban always does a media availability as well, and this is some of what he had to say about Nick's kids yesterday over at Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Certainly appreciate y'all coming out. Our favorite days of the year.
Previously, try that other link and tell me when it's ready. We'll try to take it off of that. We're having some issues there. That's straight from the University of Alabama right there, that audio feed, but it's not buffering up. So we've got another backup feed because we're not going to play it all anyway, but I would like to play a few minutes of Coach Saban explaining the greatness of Nick's Kids Foundation. And as I kind of laid it out to you, all that they have done, it's just amazing. And let me mention this, too. During the giveaway celebration yesterday, the Sabans presented Abby Drummond with the Lifetime Achievement Award and Lulu Gribben with the Bigger Than the Game Award. Of course, Lulu Gribben is the young lady from Birmingham who lost her leg and I think part of her arm as well in that shark attack a couple of years ago down in the panhandle of Florida, and has rebounded and been an inspiration and is playing golf and doing all types of athletic endeavors, even with what happened to her in that shark attack. You got it ready to go, Chase?
All right. For some reason, it's not allowing me to play. Let me see what I can do.
Oh, I tell you what I think it is. I was going to say, I thought maybe our Wi-Fi might have been down. But all right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll try to come back to that. I'm sorry about that, everybody. We'll see if Chase can get it fixed. I think it's on our end. I don't think it's anything wrong with the audio. But we'll go ahead and take our break and come back and keep the show on time anyway with Matt Coulter on NASCAR. Hopefully Chase can get that figured out and we can play Nick Saban for you. We've also got some Ryan Grubb audio, too, that I'd like to get to if it'll play. Before we hit the break, let me remind you that the $99 shoot sale continues at T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. And also, back to school at the University of Alabama. You fraternity members need to get by and get your navy blue blazer, your khaki trousers, your beautiful white dress shirt, and your crimson or red tie for all your fall festivities. They're available at T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. We'll be right back with Matt Coulter on NASCAR next year on the Gary Here.
205-942-1976.
And if you're looking for a home, call Alice Maxwell, Keller Williams Real Estate, 205-344-0636.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
Back into the Gary Harris Show. The Matt Coulter Revenge Tour continues as he is he's wiping the floor with me in our NASCAR picks competition. After I think Matt Chase just really he kept it low key, but I think he really got ticked off last year when I had seven race winners to two, and I cut it down to 4-2, but then I made the mistake of not taking Hamlin 2 weeks ago, and he pounced on that one. And then this past week I had the first pick and I felt great about Ryan Blaney, and I'm gonna get into more with Matt in a moment why Ryan Blaney wasn't in a better position to win that race. I thought he should have been. But you went with William Byron, and William Byron came through. So great call, and you're now up 6-2 in our picks competition. But a really entertaining race at Iowa. I didn't get to watch it all, and I was trying to kind of keep an eye on Blaney. But that seems to be a really popular track. The fans enjoy it. Fun racing. Yeah. Good race.
Good race. Great track. Good fan support, and I think I told you last week that, you know, they hadn't been racing in Iowa at the Cup Series level but 1 year.
That's right.
Now they'd raced the trucks and they'd raced Xfinity, and William Byron was one guy that had won both the trucks and the Xfinity. I kind of took that tag, pulled it down, and he didn't win the race. He didn't really just win it, Gary. He kind of dominated the dang thing, didn't he?
You talking about Byron?
Yeah.
Late he did. Yeah, and he, you know, they did it, you know, they handled the fuel mileage because, I mean, he ran out during the burnout, and that's what I was obviously hoping for with Blaney back there, a few cars behind him. I was hoping that Byron would run out of gas. That's what I was going to ask you about with Blaney, because he was really strong early in the race, and I noticed – you know, when I did turn it on, because I'd been out, and I turned it on, and I noticed that he was running about 12th at the time. But he had since the last pit stop came up, and he had, you know, he only had 20 something laps, and Byron was like at you know 50 laps. So did Blaney have an extra pit stop there that caused him? What caused him to fall back so far? He came back and finished fourth, but what caused him to fall so far back after he had a really strong car? Do you remember?
Well, I'll dodge the answer to that by saying that really was a good pick, because this is the kind of track that, I don't know, it is set up pretty well, although Blaney could win on super speedways. That track was just kind of set up for the Penske 12. But as for what his pit strategy was and what happened when and where and how, I'm just going to have to plead the fifth on that and tell you, I don't know, except he was closing. Yeah, I wasn't real fond of that. Like Blaney, he may be like, you remember a couple of years ago, maybe where you had Logano on a roll, and then he suddenly ended up winning the whole dang thing. So maybe that's what's going to happen in the last 12, 13 races here. But I couldn't tell you what the strategy was, the failures on that Ford, but was really happy to see William Byron win the race.
Well,
now you kind of know how I felt when you put that still got a boot in my butt last year.
Well, you're like I said, you're on the revenge tour. You're up 6-2.
It's not over either, Gary. You need to remember what you did last year.
Finishing strong, yeah.
It was about 4-2, and I think you picked like out of the last 12 races, you had 4 winners.
Well, what's unfortunate now is the way it falls this week, though, is you're coming off another win, and you get the first pick, and, oh, my gosh, we're going to Watkins Glen. So,
yeah,
it seems like pretty much no-brainer who you're gonna pick. I will spoil
it.
Yeah,
I've been thinking about that. I don't know. I guess we'll discuss that in a minute.
We will. But, you know, when you – let's talk a little bit about – since we mentioned Blaney and we really talk about the three top teams, Hendrick for Chevrolet, Gibbs for Toyota, and Penske for Ford. And that doesn't mean there aren't other good organizations, good teams. I'm not saying that. But those are the three that kind of carry the water for those manufacturers. Hendrick having another great year. Gibbs having another really great year. And Penske, all three of his drivers have wins. So you can't say that they haven't had a good year because they're all going to be in the playoff. But overall, Penske has lagged behind Hendrick and Gibbs. Wouldn't you agree with that? And can you put your finger on why?
I would. And, you know, the first thing you got to point to is manufacturers. Is it the Ford? Is it the Mustang?
Yeah, you do wonder a little bit, especially with all the equipment issues they've had.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be the first place I would go because, as you very astutely pointed out, you know, Hendrick, Regano, and Blaney, I mean, they all got wins. And they're all having pretty decent seasons. Hendrick to point out one. So, other than the fact that they're all in Fords, I don't know. I'd have to look up all the winners this year to see if there were other Fords that made it to Victory Lane. But that's the first thing I would say. What would you say?
I would look a little bit to Ford because I'm just like you. I think the Chevrolets and the Toyotas are ahead of the Fords this year. Not always in terms of speed, but it seems like when you combine speed with durability, the Fords just don't seem like they have held up as well. And that's happened to Keselowski a little bit too in some of the RFK cars.
Just to interrupt, you didn't. I mean, Keselowski had a good car.
He did. He did.
Iowa. And I would have sacrificed Byron winning it for Keselowski to have gone to Victory Lane. Golly, I would really like to see him win again, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I really would. But I'm beginning to think it's not going to happen. But, of course, we know that, you know, from year to year, and, of course, the manufacturer's championship's a big deal, too. But, yeah, I think the Fords right now are – As a manufacturer, are trailing the Chevys and the Toyotas. So we'll see what happens the rest of the year. But we go to Watkins Glen, and a true race course, a true road course, and one that's been on the circuit for a long time, and fun road course from the standpoint. You see everybody get into the tires and you see the paint swapping and you see people move people out of the way and some intense racing. But unfortunately for me, you get the first pick and there's one guy right now on the road courses is head and shoulders above everybody else. So first of all, give us the track report.
You're right about the heritage of this race course. And I love the sponsor, Go Bowling. I know living in the South, we don't go bowling. But, man, in the North, they bowl in the winter. You can't get a lane. It's incredible. So I like the sponsor. I like the track. The support, you know, and I'd have to document it, but just from my memory, Watkins Glen sells out. I know that's kind of hard to imagine with a road course, but even Gary Harris would like this as a road course. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can.
I know you're not the biggest road course guy, but anyway, it lifts 7 turns, but when you throw in the curves, there's a whole lot more. It's asphalt. It's banked up to 10 degrees, and then it's also elevated. And I'm not talking about, 10 feet. It's elevated greatly, and it's just a terrific road course. Tony Stewart has 5 wins there. That's a whole lot for a road. road course.
It really is.
And, you know, I think it reminded me, Gary, of what a really terrific driver he was. I mean, he's racing in Hot Rod now. And he won an open wheel. He won in Sprint. He won, of course, in NASCAR. Won a championship. Won Talladega. Tony Stewart was a hell of a race car
driver. He really was, yeah. He was.
And,
He didn't mind hurting your feelings. He was another one of those guys from that.
And it didn't matter if you were a driver or a reporter.
That's right.
Got the camera out of your hand. I've seen him be. Let's just say he kind of wore his emotions on his sleeve. Actually, he wore them all over his uniform and his helmet. But he was a colorful driver. Gary, I think NASCAR needs another Tony Stewart. Maybe that's Carson Hocevar if they can start winning.
Maybe so. And this, you know, this is a track I'm going to keep my eye on him, in fact. But you get first pick this week, so go ahead. Are you going to throw me a olive branch and pick somebody other than SVG?
No, when you're talking about last week, man, when you got a lead, you don't throw bombs, you know?
That's right. No, you don't.
If you can think, and you did the same thing last year.
That's right.
Smart. And I really looked at it and I thought, I may pick Chase Elliott because I think I'd be dumb not to take the chalk here. I just looked at the Vegas odds. He is way ahead of anybody as far as the betting line is concerned. So I'm going to take SVG, but my 1A is Chase Elliott. He's got two wins at the Glen. So, I guess I would suggest to you might take him, but it is your pick.
Well, it is my pick, and, you know, I had intended to take Chase, and Ragged Glory's probably listening, and, you know, he's a big Chase Elliott guy, he and Julian's sister both, and I had intended to take a Chase, but when, you know, you're sticking with a running game, you're trying not to turn it over. I am throwing, you know, I'm running trick plays, throwing bombs, you know, I'm trying to get back. I'm behind. So, you mentioned the guy, I think this, you're right. I'm not a huge road course guy, but I do, this is my favorite road course and it's exciting racing. And, you know, you need guys that, I think, well, the skill level for Van Gisbergen separates him, but I think you need guys who are willing or who are hungry, who see this as an opportunity to get a win. They don't mind moving people, and he's got talent. You know, Chastain's another guy I think to keep an eye on. Elliott, you know, Buescher won the race last year. Chris Buescher won it.
Did.
Van Gisbergen was second, but I'm going to go with Carson Hocevar. I think that he finished third last year, kind of out of nowhere. He's got the attitude. I think he sees this as an opportunity that, you know, they're doing some good things. This would get him into the playoffs. So, you know what? I'm behind in the fourth quarter. Why not throw up a Hail Mary? So how about that? I'm going to take Carson Hocevar.
Well, it'd be a huge win for him and that team and for you.
It would be.
I'm looking at the odds right now. Connor Zilich, you know, he's just a recent kind of cup, kind of, you know, hired gun type driver.
Mm-hmm.
He is second in the odds.
Well, those are guys to watch on this track, yeah. You know. Now, where is Hocevar at?
Let's see. I think he's about 12th.
Okay. I thought he'd be a little bit higher than that based on his finish last year.
And he is. He's going to wreck two or three drivers and get a win here before too long.
Well, that's what I'm hoping happens Sunday. I hope he's in contention and he runs some people, spins them out, runs them into the tires.
I had an old high school baseball coach who used to say this. I love this thing. Don't get your diver down. So even though you're down, don't let it bother you. You can still come back, man. Hail Mary's work.
Well, here's what I'm hoping. I hope he's close enough to SVG. You know, and the Kiwis are known for their pleasant aura and easygoing attitude. And I hope that Kosovar is close enough and he just runs up, wrecks him. and kiss the wind.
It could happen.
That's what I hope happens.
It's so good.
Because I don't think he's going to outdrive him. I can tell you that. He's got. But if he can get to him, maybe he'll wreck him.
Well, I always love doing your show, Gary. I'm going to be very self-serving here. You've probably seen a lot of mentions going on Facebook, but our Good Company podcast is on the brink of putting it in overdrive. Just follow me on Facebook, and you'll get all the information you need, and I appreciate your time. And by the way, I'll be coming down there in like 3 weeks. Football season's coming up. I'll be doing work with Tide and the Bear and WTVC, so I'll be seeing y'all real soon. Have a great day.
Looking God forward to it. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. All right. I'm going with Carson Hocevar, and I don't even like the kids. But, hey, like I said, when you're down 6-2, you're thinking outside the box. And Chase Elliott would have been the sound pick. But you know what? Chase, I got nothing to lose. All right. Before we get to the break, let me remind you that the August specials, August features are on at Who's Q and Brew. Listen to this. Jalapeno poppers for $9. Fresh jalapenos stuffed with pimento cheese and wrapped in bacon. Served with House Ranch. Another one of their August features the Slider Trio for $11. Three brioche slider buns with choice of pulled pork, sliced smoked chicken, or Who's Loaf with pimento cheese and pickles. Their drink feature is the Yellowhammer and a Tuscaloosa Classic served in a Who's mug with a cherry. And then the Kitty Hammer for the children, a Tuscaloosa Classic without the alcohol. How about that? August features at Who's Q and Brew. Highway 82 in the Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa. We're going to come back and try that Nick Saban audio again. Okay, we're going to try Nick Saban audio from Nick's kids yesterday. Next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure a tee.
Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
$7 each. The Colonel lived so we could chicken. KFC Phillips, just $7 each.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos. With locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather a little warmer today, cloudy at times through tonight, a chance of widely scattered showers. The high today 86, the low tonight 70. Tomorrow a mixture of clouds and sunshine with scattered showers possible. The high at 87. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Way down inside. Honey, you need it. I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love.
All right, 950. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And Raggy Glory, I know you just called. I'm sorry, I've got to get this Nick Saban audio on, but we'll have an opportunity to talk with you if you call back during Larry's segment, or we'll have a phone call segment possibly following Josh Wright. So keep that in mind. But I do want to get this Nick Saban audio on. This is Coach Saban from his Nick's Kids luncheon yesterday. He and Terry Saban giving away a lot of money. Again, what did I say it was earlier? Around $750,000 yesterday. Yeah, $775,000, I'm sorry, and nearly $16 million since the organization, the foundation, came to Tuscaloosa back in 2007. Here's Coach Saban. Head coach Nick Saban, and always love hearing from coach, but again, I said at the top of the show that this event, this Nick's Kids charity giveaway luncheon is he says it's his favorite day of the year. And when he was coaching, the thing that I always knew too, Chase, was that there was the Nick's Kids luncheon. It was usually on a Tuesday, like it was this year. And that meant that fall camp was just about to start. And it always, now fall camp has already started. He's not the coach anymore, but there still were, I want to say this too, there were a number of current players that were there yesterday supporting Nick's Kids, even though he's not the head coach anymore. So it's just a grand event. I'm glad that we could bring that for you. And heck, man, if I'd have known it was going to be over that soon, we could have kept Ragged Glory on on hold and gotten him on here for the last couple minutes of this first hour. But that's okay, Raggy Glory. Like I said, we'll have phone call opportunities in the second hour, and also, of course, with Larry the Music Man. So if you want to call back in, because he probably wanted to talk a little NASCAR after the segment with Matt Coulter, though. So that's my mistake. Thought we wouldn't have time for a phone call there, and we actually did. But anyway, before we wrap up this first hour, let me remind you that the YMCA of Tuscaloosa, I'm headed over there to work out right after this show is over. And we'd love for you to join me. Become a member at the YMCA. You'll be glad that you did. They've got a great facility, but it's more than that. It's the people, both the staff and the people that are members there. I look forward, Chase, and I'm telling the truth here. I look forward to going to the Y, not because just because I know I'm going to get a workout in, but to see friends that I've made over the years there. And since I usually work out when I work out around 11:30 after this show and before I go in to do TV, it's kind of the same people that are there, you know, because it's that time of the day. And so I look forward to seeing my friends there at the Y as well. Jeff Knox, the CEO, too. I can't say enough of good things about him. Class act. He knows the fitness business, but he also knows people. And you'll feel invited and very welcomed when you join the YMCA of Tuscaloosa, 2300 13th Street downtown. Find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a way to be a better way of banking. And we're going to kick off the second hour talking high school football as we start our high school football previews. It kind of snuck up on me. I probably already should have had some coaches on, Chase, to be honest with you, but that's okay. We've got 16 days until the season starts, so we're going to get a lot of high school coaches on over the next couple of weeks, beginning with Josh Wright, who led TA to the Class 2A state championship game a year ago. We'll have that coming up next in hour number two of the Gary Harris Show.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
In late night baseball, the Padres won in 11 innings at Arizona. The Dodgers blitz St. Louis, wins for Seattle and Tampa Bay. Texas shut out the Yankees 2-0. The Yanks have lost five in a row. The loss to closer Devin Williams, who gave up the two runs in the bottom of the eighth. First place Toronto was a 10-4 winner at Colorado. Boston won its seventh game in a row, 6-2 over Kansas City. Milwaukee won its fifth straight, 7-2 at Atlanta, while the Cubs were beaten. Cincinnati beat them in Chicago 5-1. Philadelphia won. The Mets lost. Minnesota with a victory at Detroit, 6-3. The LA Rams gave running back Kyron Williams a three-year extension. The Chargers signed free agent wide receiver Keenan Allen. Tampa Bay signed veteran quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison was suspended for the first three regular season games. He was arrested for DUI a year ago. Among the WNBA games, wins for LA, Chicago, and Minnesota.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show. Gary Harris, Chase Brumfeld with you this hour, being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. In Alabama, community means everything, and at the Patterson Law Firm, we're here when you need us most. If you're injured in an automobile accident or dealing with any type of personal injury and you call 205-345-1000, you're never going to get a call center. In fact, you're going to get an attorney right here in West Alabama. That's the Patterson Law Firm promise to you. Paul Patterson and North Patterson, they're both born and raised in Tuscaloosa. I've known these gentlemen for a long time, and not only as friends, but as attorneys, top-notch in every area. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for when you need us. Find out more at PattersonLawPC.com.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right. As I said earlier, and you wouldn't think this would ever happen to me, Chase, but with my job, but high school football season's kind of snuck up on me a little bit. You know, we're 16 days away. And again, I'm still adjusting to week zero. I can't understand how you can play full schedule of games and call it week zero. I'll ask Coach Wright about that in a moment. But we're just now kicking off our high school football previews, but we're going to be talking to a lot of high school coaches over the next couple of weeks. And we're going to begin with Coach Josh Wright at Tuscaloosa Academy. Took over in 2021 already in his fifth year, hard to believe. Went to a AISA state championship game in his first season, then oversaw the transition from AISA to AHSAA. And then last year, what a year. What an unbelievable season for TA. 13-2, or I think, or maybe 12-3. Yeah, they lost that game to Sullivan in double overtime. But advanced all the way to the 2A state championship game against Real Town over in Birmingham. And that's the good news. The bad news is there's a lot of really good football players that that have graduated. Good morning, Coach Wright. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Doing great. What a year last year. You started out, I think, 7-0, and then did lose that double overtime game to Selligent, and got into the playoffs and went on a magical run. Beat North Sand Mountain, beat Susan Moore. A memorable win over Pisgah, who's a great team. And then got revenge against Selligent in the Class 2A semifinals, made it all the way to the championship game where you ran into a really strong Real Town team. But what a memorable season. So before we look ahead, we'll get you kind of recap what happened last year.
Well, it was a special group, Gary, of seniors that, you know, started when I got the job here. They were in the ninth grade. And, you know, we've had some bumps and bruises, but – we had tremendous senior leadership, and we had great players, you know, Preston Lancaster, Haston Crawford, Caleb Caldgrove, Ford Beaker, Ellis Hameter. I mean, these guys were, you know, great high school football players, and a lot of them are playing at the next level right now. So, you know, you don't have to coach a lot when you got, you know, great kids. And so, but they were a special group, will always be remembered here. And, you know, they come back to practice. And, you know, it was just a great, great culture, great locker room, and just great kids we had last year. And that was part, you know, that was one of the main reasons we were successful.
When you have a magical season like that and you have such an incredible senior class, you'll, like you said, you'll remember it forever. But you have to come back the next year, and you got to go play, and you got to try to pour yourself into this team, knowing that you're losing so much from that previous roster. What's the offseason been like? And now that you're on the practice field, how's it gone for you? And what do you feel like this team has the potential to do?
Well, Gary, even though we lost a lot of seniors and stuff, we got a lot of kids coming back that either started and have played a lot last year. So the cover wasn't bare, you know, and then we've picked up a few kids that transferred over. And, you know, we're not as deep as we were last year, but, you know, in some areas we may be a little stronger than we were last year. And, of course, a lot of places we're not. But, you know, each team is different. And, you know, I told them, I said, there's no pressure on them, you know. We lost a bunch of guys, but this is, you know, this team has its own identity. And, you know, and that's what we got to go with. So.
With that in mind, and I know you haven't played a game yet. We'll run down the schedule here in a moment. But you mentioned having some guys back that played a lot and have some experience, some starters back. You alluded to the incredible leadership you had on that team last year. Do you try to define, as you go into new season, do you try to define your leaders, or do you kind of let them, do you let players lead that, or do you go to guys and say, hey, I need you to be, how does that work? I've always been curious about how coaches approach that. Do you let the players kind of develop their own leadership, or do you look to certain guys and say, hey, I'm expecting you to be more than just a player on the field. I'm expecting you to lead. How do you go about doing that?
Well, you know, I'm kind of one of these guys that let them, you know, to me, leaders are going to just stand out above, whether it's by work ethic. You know, it's not the loudest or who's hollering the most. It's who can back up what they say and what they're doing and hold others accountable, including themselves. And I think if you're out there on the field, you know, those guys rise to the occasion and they earn the respect of their teammates. You know, and I don't have to say, you know, hey, this kid right here is our leader. You know, they know by experience. So I just kind of do it that way. A lot of different coaches do it other ways, but, you know, Preston Lancaster last year was a leader, but he was not a very vocal leader right. at all. They did it by, and Martin Arce, our quarterback this year, is not a very vocal guy, but he's a hard worker, you know, so he's leading by his hard work and desire. Where some, you know, we have a senior, Henry Smith, that's our leader, you know, I mean, he's FCA, he gets everybody right. Everybody respects him. Now, Henry's not our best player. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he leads by example and things like that. And that's kind of how we do it here. And, you know, it's kind of worked. But, you know, kids need to be who they are and not try to be something they're not. And that's, you know, in any business or any situation, you're always going to have leaders step up and be respected in ways that, you know, otherwise they wouldn't. So
replacing a kid like Lancaster at quarterback's not easy, but I know you're really high on Norris. You already mentioned him as a guy that can step into those big shoes. You're really high on his talent and his potential.
Oh yeah, he's, you know, he's about 6'3" now, about 190. He's worked extremely hard this summer. He's a kid that, you know, he's a little taller than Preston was. I mean, he's got great arm talent, but he's also a very elusive guy. You know, he was a great receiver for us last year. So Marcus, you know, he can make a bad play turn into a great play, you know, and a Preston could too. But, you know, they're different. They're both different, but they're great at their craft in different ways. So, but yeah, Marcus going to be a junior. He's got a tremendous, you know, upside to him. So we just got to keep him healthy and, you know, and see how it goes.
Coach Josh Wright with us, Tuscaloosa Academy Knights, getting ready to open the 2025 season. And you've got, what a way to open the season. You're going to do a Thursday night game, week zero, at American Christian. So this is going to be a huge game for the fans, huge game for the community. I like the fact that it's on Thursday night to open the season, and you're going to test yourself right off the bat as you take on a Class 4A team and a really good, strong American Christian Academy team at their place. So why just wade into the water where you can dive right in head first, right?
Well, I know, and Coach Grammer, he's going to do a fantastic job over there. We have great respect for them and their program over there, and, you know, a lot of our kids are friends with their kids, and, you know, it's a great, clean rivalry, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, last year we might have got the upper hand, but I think that's the first time in a long, long time. But I know this year they're going to be fired up, and they're going to have a great team, and, you know, we just got to go in there and, you know, put our best foot forward and see what happens, you know. And so, and that's what we'll do. We'll get measured right off the bat.
Well, let me ask you, because I said I would, and I'm still curious. Listen, it is what it is. I don't like it for Football Friday purposes, because I like to, you know, I have to say this is week zero, but it's week one of Football Friday. Yeah. This week zero thing just kind of morphed out of nowhere. I mean, I don't know what the thought was. It seemed like we had just a few games. Now all of a sudden it's a full fledged schedule for most people.
Well, you know, Gary, the thing is, it's hard to schedule people. And you know, you have your region games and then you're allowed to get three more, and if you don't get week zero, you could be stuck with nine or eight.
That's right. And you don't want that to happen, right?
And that's the scary part of it. So it's really week one. I mean, they just call it that, I guess, for some reason.
Yeah, I just wish we could go back to calling it week one. It'd be easier for me to keep with you. You can play 10 games in 11 weeks. I would rather it just be
week one. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
And that's what happened. But instead of back when you used to play 10 games in 10 weeks, it was week one. But you're right. You need to have that scheduling flexibility. And I know coaches do enjoy it, too, from the standpoint. It gives you some flexibility. Like you said, there's still a few schools who don't play that week zero, and then they play 10 straight.
And if we didn't play week zero, we couldn't play ACA the way our schedule.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it opens up some little local rival games.
It does.
Gate games. That I like to call.
Oh, I love the 11. I love the 11 weeks because, like I said, I just wish we'd call it week one. It'd be a lot easier. But in your case, you're going to play five and have an open week and then play five. I know there are other schools who will play 10 straight weeks and then will take their open week heading into the playoffs, hoping that they're going to be a playoff team. There are others who won't play week zero and then play. So you're right. It gives you some flexibility there. But if we could just call it week one, it would be easier, but that's okay. I'll handle it. All right. Region 5, Class 2A Region 5. Last year, Selegant was so strong. Man, what a rivalry you had with them last year. It's for the most part a West Alabama region. You got, Owlsville, Greene County, Isabella, Lamar County, Selegant, Vincent, and TA. So what are you looking for from your region this year?
Our region's always tough. I mean, Owlsville, they're going to be better this year. Greene County is going to be better this year. Lamar County, they've got a new coach. Selegant, I know, had a big senior class like we did, but they still got weapons, and, they're going to be a great physical football team. Isabella's going to be very physical. And then, Isabella played us close last year.
Mm-hmm.
Vincent was our number two, finished second in the region, and there'll be another. I mean, you could take probably six teams out of our seven in the region, and nobody knows who would make the playoffs out of the top four. So there's going to be a lot of unknowns, a lot of shuffling around. There's probably going to be upsets in the region, kind of like it was last year. Green mm-hmm. County beat Selegant last year. You know what I mean? So you got to be ready every week, to play. But it's definitely a good region to be in to play football because it's such parity. The other regions, you may have two top heavy and the rest of them are, blowouts. Ours are pretty, pretty competitive games every Friday night. So across the board. So that says a lot about your region.
And finally, I like to ask coaches this every year. There's been a lot of changes in high school athletics, high school football, and we don't really even know going forward what it's going to look like. I do like that the AHSAA stays on top of it. They're doing their best, I think, to keep it fair and equitable and keep the spirit of competition in place. But we know what's going on, and it's just part of the world that we live in now. I had, Trey Hall from Hall Tech Sports on yesterday, and he says, high school NIL is coming, if it's not already there to some degree. And, there's a lot of, you and I have talked about before, open enrollment could be happening, but it's still Friday nights in Alabama, and it's still fun. The games, does it feel the same? Going back to your dad, I mean, your brothers, y'all are high school football personified in this state. Does it still feel the same to you on when you're coaching high school football as it did, say, years ago?
For the most part, Gary, I mean, kids have always left and went places. It's just now it's so much social media has blown it up. You know what I mean? I mean, it really, that's what's happening. And, because, even when we were at Pickens Academy, sometimes we would get three or four kids and we may have two or three leave. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go back and forth or whatever. And it's definitely not from our standpoint as much because our kids are here and they want to play football and, they're not looking for – if they were talented enough to go play at the next level, that would be great. But, I know at the bigger level schools, it's really – a rat race. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. From facilities to you know, winning to, I mean, and there's so much money being put in these things that it's crazy. I mean, it is, it's hard, but I think getting down to the, I mean, if you want to win, you're going to have a culture of kids that are there for the right reason. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, NIL, whatever, they don't pay for blocking and tackling or whatever at heart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that part of football is still there. And for the kids that really, really want to play it and they're playing it for the right reason, you know, I think that's what keeps the older coaches like me, keep them going. Because nowadays it is so different, so different. I mean, I saw something the other day where kids that are in third or fourth grade are posting that they're on Twitter that they're going to another school or something.
Lord.
So, I mean, so it's just, I think the social media thing has really made it so more advertised than what people didn't see, you know, maybe 15 years ago.
You're right. Well, we evolve, we change. It's part of life. But I tell you this, I get caught up as a sportscaster and all the stuff that's going on off the field with college and high school sports. But I still look forward to Friday nights and Saturday afternoons. I mean, it's still...
Well, that's the purity of the game, you know. And I know at the, you know, college level, that's, it's really, really tough to deal with all that
stuff.
Yeah,
Jody's dealing with it up there at Murray State. I need to get him on again soon.
Yeah, but it's tough. But you know, I think when the kids do it for the right reasons and do everything that it usually works itself out. You know, so. But
well, Coach, I appreciate the time and looking forward to Thursday night, August 21st at ACA. We're gonna have some big games that week, but I'm thrilled that it's on Thursday night too. I love getting a jump start with some Thursday night games, so we're looking forward to it.
Well, I appreciate having me on and appreciate what you do for Alabama and then this whole area and high school athletics.
All right, Coach, thank you. Josh Ryder with us from TA. It is 10:19 here on the Gary Harris Show. Hey, the last couple of days, and even today, these cool temperatures. Are you loving it, Chase? Like, I'm loving it. And I'll tell you what it's really good for. It's good for golf. And I've put up the clubs for a while. I've said that publicly. I'm going to not play again until I can get over there to see John Gray at Old Colony and get a lesson. But a lot of people are still playing golf. It's great golf weather. Tall Pines over in East Tuscaloosa, the Woodland Forest neighborhood. They're open for public play 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. Call to make a tee time, 205-556-1232. Pro shop, putting greens, driving range, a hidden gym in Tuscaloosa, Tall Pines Golf Course. Call for a tee time, 205-556-1232. All right, we're coming back in the next segment. We can take some phone calls if we get some, and also I'm going to try to play, if not, try to play a little bit of Ryan Grubb audio from yesterday after he met with the media following practice. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. The Sabin Center took another step toward reality today with Governor Ivey, Nick and Terry Sabin, and local officials breaking ground. The FBI has confirmed an active investigation underway in Vance, but refused to give any further details. The Trump administration requiring states to pick up much of the tab for SNAP benefits. And worries Alabama Arise Executive Director Robin Hayden.
Is that going to be there for us if we can't find another way to raise revenue and support this program?
Some 700,000 Alabamians receive SNAP benefits. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we've expanded our showroom to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online.
100.9 WTBC 1230 Sports Radio Studio is presented by Be Dry Alabama. Be Dry Waterproofing, online at BeDryAlabama.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after...
Free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the...
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather a little warmer today, cloudy at times through tonight, a chance of widely scattered showers. The high today 86, the low tonight 70. Tomorrow a mixture of clouds and sunshine with scattered showers possible. The high at 87. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 80 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Just a few minutes in this segment, but we are going to play a little bit of Ryan Grubb. Yesterday, following practice, Alabama's fifth. The Alabama offensive coordinator met with the media. Now, they're out in full pads this morning, but here's a few minutes from Coach Grubb yesterday talking about the progress of the team.
Who's up?
Coach, I sort of made your point to mention the get a quarterback named as soon as possible. Are there other positions on the offensive line, but the competition is such that there's work to be done, and is there any other position that maybe has some urgency?
I think you got a little bit more time with those, a little more grace. They've been doing a good job of fighting all those battles, and we're rotating a lot of guys in through on that offensive line unit. So I'm okay with the gel taking a little while up front.
How beneficial is it to have guys like Gino and Owas who can kind of play multiple spots and kind of rotate it, you're just saying?
Yeah, the flex position, I think, especially an experienced guy like Gino, is extremely important. You know, if you can play multiple spots, especially if you're a guy that can either snap a football or push yourself out to tackle, life's going to be really, really good for you up front because you got guys that can do both.
Brian, what's kind of the snap plan for quarterbacks today as week two of camp?
Right now, we're keeping status quo. All guys have been getting ones, twos, and threes, with the exception of Ty. He's the only guy that's not taking any three reps. So, really, it's been status quo. But today, everybody got a couple racks with the ones, and Ty took a couple with the twos. So, we're still moving them around, and the guys know that there's a pretty clean picture moving forward throughout the week.
With another coach on staff who's coaching quarterbacks, obviously that frees you up a little bit. How do you divide your time on the practice field?
I'm always going to probably hunker pretty close to the quarterback just because of that relationship that I have to have for game day. But it does, you know, at times, especially if there's something specific in a game plan or drill work that I think has to be addressed to see if we can fix some problems, I'm certainly going to be over for those drills on any of the position groups. So the flexibility is huge, you know, and just having guys that you can trust in the quarterback room like Nick is ultra important.
How would you evaluate what you've seen quarterbacks since the last time we talked to you?
They've grown a ton. Spring to now, even first practice to now, has been outstanding. I thought, you know, a couple of the young guys hit a couple bumps early on, and I really thought they played through it really quickly. Sometimes you'll hit that and they'll stay down. They get on the canvas and they can't get back up. But I thought both the guys did a great job. Keelan and Austin have played through that. We've had a lot less up and down with the whole room. I think that we've done a good job taking care of football. Again, today there was no picks. And I really didn't feel like the ball was in jeopardy today. And I think that's one of the biggest things is just improved decision-making in the room.
Coach, what have you seen from the quarterbacks?
Jam Miller. He's the man. Love that guy. So GM's been doing everything. I think, you know, the thing about a guy like GM, you love older guys that don't feel like their skill set's complete. And what I mean by that is I think GM really wholeheartedly athlete takes on. Like, there's things that I can get better at. And he works at them extremely hard. He's very diligent about his process. And so he's a good leader in the room. I think Daniel has showed the physicality we thought with exceptional hands. I think Dre's getting better at pass protection, as is Rich. And so those four guys have really shown a lot of growth. And then even A.K. Deer is a guy that, you know, is really swimming this spring and has showed some promise here lately. You know, normally I don't talk about those younger guys too much, but just been proud of, you know, his progress the last couple of days has been really good.
With the depth in the...
All right, there you have it. And we talked about the running backs earlier, and Corey called in from Trustful asking about the running backs, and you heard Coach Grubb right there just kind of gushing about that running back room, and especially Jam Miller, who is the established starter. But it sounds like, listening to Coach Grubb, that not only does he appreciate the talent of Jam Miller, he appreciates what he brings to the team in terms of those leadership skills, toughness. I'm telling you right now, Chase, I don't want to put any kind of negative vibe on the program, but everything right now is just positive. And I don't want, like I said, I don't want to jinx it, but it's, I mean, there is just such a positive vibe surrounding this team and the potential that they have in 2025. All right, we're going to take a timeout when we come back. Larry the Music Man, we'll take your phone calls at 205-342-9904. And I know we're going to be talking about the Doobie Brothers, among others, coming up here in the next segment. So we're back with Larry the Music Man right after this on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Train running from the Doobie Brothers brings us back in as we kick off the Larry the Music Man segment. And by request, Doobies this morning, several different choices. I went ahead and decided on that one because I just love the intro, Larry.
Gary, all the Doobie Brothers songs have that famous Tom Johnston intro, mm-hmm. like Randy Bachman had. It worked. It was a formula. And it's still working today, man. Tom Johnston, Patrick Simmons, Tyron Porter, Michael Hartman, Michael Hossett, later Keith Knudsen, two drummers. I think they kind of borrowed that from the Allman Brothers a little bit. You know, they first came out in the 70s from San Jose, California, and they kind of had that West Coast blues, rock, folk, country. They had it all, man. They had the harmony. Two Loose Street, one of my favorite. When you listen to the music, and Jesus Is Just All Right.
Mm-hmm.
Captain and Me, Long Train Running, Rocking Down the Highway, Natural Thing, China Grove. There's another reel. You know, Doobie Brothers have that signature sound, and you know who it is when it first starts.
That's right. Just, you do.
Yeah, like you just said, you, even Chase said, oh, yeah. He said he knows.
Yeah.
Can't say enough about them, and we talked about them, but we hadn't highlighted them. There's been so much in the 70s to cover, I don't want anything to get lost, and this band certainly deserves.
Well, you said it, and you kind of already laid it out. I mean, they epitomize, to me, 70s rock and roll. Like you said, versatile, a lot of different influences, what I call good time music, feel good music. when you listen to them, it brings you up. And they're one of the preeminent 70s rock and roll bands that continued, obviously, into the 80s and, you know, still play today like a lot of these bands do. But, no, I'm with you on the Doobie Brothers.
Top 40 hits in the 70s.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, they were a staple on top 40 radio and rock radio as we made the conversion over to FM. And I remember even, you know, they were on the remember that TV show they did with Rerun and what was that show? But anyway, they were huge. Yeah.
Their music has been on many as a soundtrack, just like Midnight Rider and, you know. And listen, Gary Harris is going down the highway. Long Train Running comes on. Yeah. You crank it up.
Absolutely.
You crank it up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to look up that TV show they did. What's Happening was the sitcom that they were featured on in the 70s. Yeah, yeah. So, hey, listen, if you want to talk to Larry, 205-342-9904 is the number. And I see we got calls coming in that we'll get to here in just a moment. But while we're talking about the Doobies, and I've asked you this before, of course, you started your drumming career there in the 60s and obviously the heyday of the 70s and on the road and traveling and so close a few times to actually making it big. But, playing every night, you know, doing covers. How much were you in your band when y'all were traveling, when y'all were in the van or whatever it was you get into, just like non-musicians? We were talking about, were y'all jamming to these bands when you were on the road, listening to them like we did?
The main road band was, you know, from 69, the early part of the 70s, the Beethovens, which you talked about, mm-hmm. and I've sent what photos I have, and that's a shame. Back then, we just didn't have the technology. You had to call on the payphone, or we're riding down at night. We listen to John R. We're listening to all the stations at night because they come in stronger, and we're learning. We're picking the songs because when you play every weekend like we did, especially on 2-week runs in certain places up north, clubs, that's the way they wanted it. We would learn the songs on our off time by the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have YouTube. We didn't have a turntable, a portable record player. We learned as we went. And I'm going to tell you, Creedence Clearwater Revival probably saved our lives many a night. all those great WLS, all the great disc jockeys, you know, we talked about that. That's what kept us awake at night, especially around Chicago up there in the winter night, coming home. And when we would come home, we were booked like we'd be off for a week, but we practiced. We would go out to what we had then, what we had the first Hell House, I think. You know, Leonard Skinner had theirs. It was a barn on a farm with no air conditioner, no heat. And we would work our show up for the next run. That's the only time we had. And it was by records.
That's right. You know, one thing,
bring in a 45 or an album.
Yeah. And that was the thing about it, too. Everything wasn't so analyzed. And even when I was growing up as a kid, you listened to the music first. Now, listen, there were political overtones. When you started, you know, in the 60s with the Vietnam War, and you know, there were a lot of, you know, uprisings, but the music, you still kind of were left to define it yourself, you know, what it meant to you. And the main thing you always listened to was for the groove, but you know, there was some strong political overtones in the music, but it didn't overwhelm you because the music still was first, and you didn't have, you know, the internet and shows picking apart every song and every lyric and what it means, which to some degree I think has taken the fun out of music. Every time there's an artist that comes out with something quote unquote controversial, it just dominates the song. But in those days, you could still just enjoy the music, right? Even if
John Fogerty did it best, Gary. Yeah. He disguised the writing like Fortunate Son. Yeah, it was a message. A definite message, because we were right during the Vietnam War, the heyday of it. We're on the road and we're playing these army bases. And Fogerty was the best at it, man. Put a candle in the window. I mean, if you had somebody in Vietnam that didn't make it or they came home injured, that song meant a lot, you know. But, you know, the Doobie Brothers had that transition period when Tom Johnston left. In 76, 77, he had a little bit of an addiction, and they brought in Michael McDonald and Skunk Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Skunk Baxter and Michael took him to another, you know, taking it to the streets album with all those, it keeps you running minute by minute. And then Michael did that great thing, you know, duet with Carly Simon. What was that song he did? My mind just totally went blank.
With Carly Simon?
Yeah.
Oh,
you belong to me? Wait a minute.
I'm trying to look it up so I can think. Yeah, you belong to me. You belong to me. That's
yeah.
it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, Butler. Your mind's still clicking. Sometimes yeah. I have me.
Yeah.
You get me on the road, and I do have some road stories. It's called Three Strikes, You're Not Out.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah. No, that's all right. No, that's because Mike McDonald did a lot of that, though. He was on a lot of people's records. You know, Kenny Loggins, This
oh,
Is
yeah.
It. I mean, he did. Hey, let's go ahead and get some phone calls because they're stacked up for us,
okay.
Larry. And we're going to take
that's
them
good.
In the order in which they came in. So that means we'll get George and Macon. Robbie Glenn, and then John T. But we're going to go ahead and get George over in Macon, your neck of the woods. Hey, George.
Hey, Jerry. How you doing?
Doing well.
Got a couple of questions. Although I live in Macon now, I was raised in Birmingham. And I want to ask your guest if he remembers, you know, being raised in Birmingham in the early 60s or early 60s and early 70s, if he remembers a local band, or he had ever heard of a local band called the Ramblers.
Yeah.
I remember Johnny Robinson, I guess, put the band together. And just wonder if you had ever heard of them.
I have heard of them. I believe, if I'm correct, I'm friends with one of the drummers. I'm not sure if he was the original. I won't call his name because we're friends on Facebook. He played with the Ramblers. Now, how long have you been in Macon, George?
I've been in Macon for like 14 years, and in fact, I'm just now passing the big house. But I was raised in Birmingham, and I'm, you know, a pretty old fella. But I remember the Ramblers. I remember anybody that was talking about putting a band together, you know, in Birmingham. Oh, the Ramblers are so successful. And then there's another guy who played the piano and sang, and I want to say he wrote a song, Green Eyes, which I thought was very, very good, and I really thought that he would make it big, but I don't think that he did. If you remember that song, that's about
yeah. George, that happened to a lot of especially, we talked about the artists from Alabama, but there was a group from Warner Robins you probably heard of that I had ties with and actually set in when the drummer was sick, Doc Holliday. Huge. Oh, yeah. Bruce Bookshire and Eddie Stone plays with Jimmy Hall now. They're buddies of mine, and you talk about some good ones. They were one of the biggest bands in Europe. Their album, that
wow.
first album, yeah, that's amazing when you can go over there and be big. I mean, they were big here, but they really made it big over there. So anyway, yeah, that's interesting. Go by the big house every day. That's a good vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a good vibe.
Yes, it is. That's it. And I want to say Johnny Robinson, who was, I thought, put the band together, he had his girlfriend or his wife is Vicki Hallman, if that rings a bell to you.
Oh, yeah.
And she kind of made it semi-big.
I'm going to look all that up, and I'm going to touch base with him. If you can call next week, I'll have something for you on that.
Okay. But, I mean,
being in the Ramblers. Yeah. Yeah. He's mentioned many times. I think they had a reunion a while back. Not recently, but if I remember right now. The ones that are still alive.
Okay.
That's the problem.
All right, George, great.
Yeah,
we're going back
pretty far.
Yeah, we got a lot of phone calls lined up. Thank you so much, George. Appreciate you. We'll get to one more call, and then we'll have to take our break. Next up is going to be Robbie Glenn. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Larry. How y'all doing?
Robbie Glenn, the Doobie Brothers with you, brother. I remember what you said about a month ago. You cut your teeth. So this is my way of giving you something, okay?
I love the Doobie Brothers. I grew up with them growing up in California, San Diego. I loved
everything about the Doobie Brothers. And when I was an 11-year-old kid, you know, I was big into all music back then. I was diversified. And so my first concert as an 11-year-old kid was Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I just loved everything to do with the Doobie Brothers and them. But my question, I've talked about powerful voices before, but if you were having to walk down the street and pass a bar that you didn't know what was going on, and you heard, what would make you want to go in? A soulful sound of Michael McDonald, of his voice, or someone like a Steve Perry with Journey with a powerful voice? What would make you just stop and say, man, I got to go in and listen to this?
God, man, you're killing me with that because I love both formats. Let me go on and add one more. Man, that's a hard question, Robbie. You're killing me. I might have to, depending on the mood I am, because I love that R&B thing like Greg Allman did, and Michael was so good at it. Man, that's a tough one. I hate to even say you put me on the spot. How about Lou Graham, Steve Perry, and Michael McDonald jamming? How about that?
Ooh,
I'll take the fifth on that, brother.
that's a good response.
Yeah, the fifth on that.
That's three unique voices. Yep.
Yeah, it is. But something about Michael McDonald's voice, man, it's so soothing. Man, it's just smooth.
It is. It is.
You could just sit there and listen to him all day long.
Yeah, man.
He was just the best.
All right, thank you, Robbie. Hey, by the way, Robbie, we're gonna have Chris Anderson on in the morning at 9:30.
Oh, awesome! Former He's a Alabama good guy, great guy.
Yeah, terrific football
player.
One
of my teammates too in baseball now.
That's right. He played some baseball at Alabama, so we're gonna have him on.
Yes,
in the morning.
He did. He was
good player. All right, thank you, Robbie. Awesome.
Thank you, guys.
All right, appreciate it. All right, listen, let's get to our break, and we're going to come back. John T. and Ragged Glory, we're going to get to you guys on the other side, so please hold tight. We'll get a break in, and then we'll have about 5 minutes when we come back with Larry the Music Man to close out the segment. We've been talking about the Doobie Brothers. We'll be back after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Aaron Torres. We're going to talk to Drew DeArmond. We're going to work our way to scrimmage number one on the campus of the University of Alabama. Kane Womack talks. We'll talk about that right here starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program
brought to you by Fincher and Osmond. Fincher and Osmond carries artisan-created diamonds, and trust us, they are bigger than you expect. Visit www.fincherandosmond.com.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house.
Ooh, you smell amazing, James.
Oh, thanks, Mom. I love you, too.
I never said that.
Add Gain Scent Boosters to your laundry. Add joy to your day.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama
Life Insurance that you can live with. Call Big Lou at 800-444-2013. 800-444-2013.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Michael McDonald, there he is. As we come back in here for the Larry the Music Man segment, 10:51 on the Gary Harris Show. And let's keep the calls coming in because we've got about 5 minutes of program left, and we're going to go to John T. You're on with Larry the Music Man, John T.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, John T.
Question. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was calling in with a question, Larry's open. Statements he mentioned CCR, and this is just a funny timing statement. I just got back from the grocery store, and the grocery store was playing in Green River.
How about that?
Like, kind of humming the guitar chords from this old hippie, kind of like myself.
Yeah.
And you got
moss on us, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Little tread on the tires, so to say.
There you go.
And then, and then Gary, you mentioned something about, and y'all both mentioned something about late 60s moving into the 70s music, and that was one of my questions. But Gary, you said something about political overtones.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when we were that day, we weren't thinking anything about that. But the one song that always comes to my mind when about Vietnam, War Pigs, Black Sabbath.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have to mention that with Ozzy's passing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great, yeah, good analysis. Yeah. You got it right there, brother. When can we do the 60s? You think the 70s, the 60s are going to get down and mean?
I thought we were moving into the 70s.
We still in the 70s for what, Gary, 2.5 months now?
Yeah, we've been stuck in the 70s. We did a little bit of 60s with the British invasion early, but we're going to go back and...
You're talking about political in the 60s.
Yeah, I don't know that we're ever going to make it to the 80s. There's so much music in the 60s and 70s.
I may not be around. I hope I live long.
One thing about it is we'll go up to a certain level. Some of this music that we got out today, we won't fool with it. That's for sure, John T. We'd rather go back in time.
My quick question was, you know, the late 60s, and Larry mentioned something about the late 60s and moving into the United States. I was wondering if you're familiar with a band called The Moving Sidewalks.
I sure was.
Well, I'm not. I think y'all hit me with really? One that I've...
The Go ahead and tell him.
The Moving Sidewalks.
Tell him.
Billy Gibbons.
Oh, I didn't know he was in movies.
ZZ Top.
Yeah, I know Billy Gibbons. But you may have mentioned them before, because I know we've talked about Dusty Hill and Billy Gibbons a lot. But I'm not familiar with the movie Sidewalks.
$1,000 on eBay. That album is over $1,000 on eBay now.
What, the movie Sidewalks album?
Yeah.
So they had one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go back. You know me. I'll go back and listen to them now.
Just Google Joe Blues.
Okay. Well, I'll go back and I'll introduce myself to the, because I mean, I'm a big ZZ Top fan. So,
Larry, correct me if I'm wrong. I think Billy Gibbons was like 17, 18 years old.
They were all young. They remind me of my band then. They were young. Yep. Those guys stayed together, man. That's what's important. They stayed together.
Wow, that's here. I love learning some music, and I'm sure probably with Billy Gibbons in the band, I'm sure I probably heard some of their stuff somewhere along the line, but I could not have told you it was the Moving Sidewalks. So good for me.
All you'd have is the song and first couple of guitar licks. You'll know exactly who it is.
Okay, I'll do
it. Hey, brother, you call in.
Thank
more.
You, John T. You appreciate you, man.
All right, guys. Y'all be cool.
Have yeah, awesome. Yeah, look forward to hearing from you again. Good stuff. Good knowledge. Dropping some knowledge on us. All right, we're going to close it out with Ragged Glory. Hey, Ragged Glory.
Hey, good morning, team.
Good morning.
Hey, Ragged Glory, don't you fade glory on me.
You know what? Thanks a lot for the monkey wrench.
We've been jabbing all week, haven't we, G-Truck?
Yes, we have. Now, I've only got a couple of minutes here. I'm going to try and get this all squeezed in. Hey, Robbie Glenn, thanks for calling in. I love you. Prayers and blessings still to you, your wife, and Stryker. No worries. Gary, thank you for, hey,
hanging in with me today. Man, it's been busy.
I got you.
And now, oh gosh, JT or Robbie Glenn? San Diego, California.
Robbie Glenn, yeah.
Robbie Glenn, I'm a native Southern California. That's right, boy. I knew that. So thank you. So thank you very much for all of that, and we love you. Gary, it takes a lot of whale for a man to say, you enjoyed ABBA and a huge fan. Well, I got to ask you, I'll get to the Doobie Brothers in just a second. I got to ask you, what was your favorite ABBA song?
Oh, there's so many of them. I mean, I love Dancing Queen, love Waterloo, The Winner Takes It All. I mean,
Money. The fire here because I loved them.
Yeah, it's just a
SOS. Sucked me in with ABBA.
Yeah, and they're such a good performance group, too, man. They were really, really good. Gosh. All right, get to the Doobies real quick, though, because we're running out of time, Ray Glory.
I'll tell you what. I was so hyped up. I loved all the Doobies music, and I got to see them paired up with Gary Wright, Doobie Brothers, and Fleetwood Mac at Day on the Green, Oakland Coliseum, Don Kirshner sing. But they suck. I was so disappointed. Ooh. Yeah, it's one of those days where Doobie. Yep, they were Doobied, all right.
What year was that?
77.
Yeah, you caught them on a bad day. Hey, that's happened to me.
That was Tom Johnson's demise.
It's happened to me. I went to a couple concerts, and I don't have time to name them, that I was so disappointed in the performance. Every now and then it happens.
Hey, still love their studio music. Yeah. You know what?
About that sometime. Bands that disappointed you when you saw them live. I've got a couple, too. Hey, thank you, Ragged Glory. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, we got to wrap it up. This Hour of the Gary Harris Show has been brought to you by Patterson Law Firm, and we're going to get you ready for the Miller's Edge coming up next, and catch me on TV tonight with local sports on WVUA 23, and back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Gary Harris Show.